Can you believe that it's almost the end of another hour?
I love this. And we've had all our guests in the order that they were actually supposed to be here today.
That's kind of an inside joke, but
it is fabulous.
Well, our final guest, certainly not because of anything other than just the way it worked out, is James Wiebe from Belight Enterprises and Radiant Technologies, better known as Captain Chipper, for those of us who have known him for a while.
I have never called him that. I just want you to know.
I usually call him James, but I just thought Captain seemed appropriate this morning. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, and don't call me Jim.
Exactly. Never call him Jim or Jimmy, I found out years ago. Anyway, but wow, it's so nice to have you here. And for people that don't know anything about Belight or Radiant, what is Chipper?
Chipper is, excuse me, Chipper is our two-seat stall light sport capable experimental aircraft. It is a plane that I designed because I wanted to be able to fly into really amazing places like Alaska and the wilderness in Idaho and short airstrips and places like I like to go and clamp. So Chipper does that extremely well, and it also goes pretty fast. It's reasonable. It's very fast, considering the big tires that are hanging from it and all the lift enhancement devices.
It has how big an engine on it?
Well, I just can't get enough engine. So currently, I hung a 130 horsepower engine on it.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
What did it have in it? You and I flew in the
80. That was 80
horsepower.
Yeah, and it was
okay.
It did okay then.
I think that's really incredible. I mean, I think another part of the story, though, is that when I first met you a couple of years ago at Sun and Fun, you had the airplane, you just had most of the shell.
It was
but it
rough.
Hadn't even flown.
Yeah.
But that was, what was that, like in April of that year,
I think? Yeah, yeah.
And you had started the airplane when?
Right around January 2.
So in 4 months, you had this whole thing.
Yeah. We went from clean sheet to airworthiness certificate in 90 days.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was super, super, super fast. We build fast.
Well, you're a mathematical genius, so I understand that.
Careful.
Once you crack the code, if you put me next to you, you are a mathematical genius.
Okay,
James.
But, you know, you're not just an airplane designer. I remember when I said something after, I forgot how long I had known you, but I said something about technology, and you said, well, I'm always inventing things. And I said, well, like what? And then I found out about Radiant technology, which is another, I don't know if it's a division of Belight or if it's a separate organization, but you're building all kinds of cool stuff.
Yes.
What else? What do you build at Radiant?
Well, yeah, my background is electrical engineering, so Radiant really has become modern gauges done with super bright color LCD stuff with lots and lots of channels of information in super small packages that weigh nothing. And Radiant is also a developing line of pilot products. You'll certainly recall our little iOS app with the altimeter on it. And I know everybody's going to enjoy looking at the Radiant instrument I'm holding in my hand that weighs nothing.
You're the master of miniaturization.
Oh, thank you, Amy. You
are too. Remember the very early ones.
The altimeter on my phone.
Yeah, and Rob has the altimeter on his phone. So we do electronic instruments. We just introduced a new pocket radio for pilots, which I brought along with me today as well. I look at the market and I say, what would pilots really like to have? I've looked at it from the standpoint of what do experimental aircraft owners want to have. They want simplicity. They don't want complexity. They want things that look good, are easy to interpret, and easy to install. So we know that there's some very great high-end people in the market like Garmin and Dynon, and they do big stuff really, really well. We do little stuff really, really well. And we do things that go for those guys, and then on top of that, now we're working really hard to build up products that any pilot or passenger can enjoy having as well.
Building airplanes, building technology, when do you sleep?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, but you know, you have another interesting I know you invited me to go up to Alaska to see the...
I begged you to go to Alaska,
and unfortunately the...
You have to be begged to go to Alaska?
Well, it was a matter of...
I'll work on him.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so I didn't get to go, but something happened when you flew Chipper up there.
Yeah.
And let's see, because you flew it from Wichita.
Yes,
how many hours did it take you to get to...
Good question. Very, very round numbers. It was about 35 flight hours from Wichita to Anchorage. Maybe 30, maybe 40. I'd have to look it up. It was 30, 35 plus or minus.
And you flew that solo, right?
I did. Yeah, I never had anyone with me the entire way.
So, but now, somehow, during the Alaska visit, something occurred. Tell us a little about that.
You're referring to when I wrecked my airplane.
Okay, I wasn't
going to
go.
Oh, he's mean. Why are you making him talk about that on the radio?
Well, because it leads to something
else. Because I provided it as a topic.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Tell us what happened.
Well, sad day indeed. We had some engine issues related to high power operation. We were at 0 feet sea level, so that engine was sucking a lot of fuel. And I was running the carburetor bowls dry, and we knew we had this problem there, and we fixed it. And so there's some deep irony in what happened next. Got it fixed. We had installed new fuel lines. We had worked very carefully, absolutely positively proved that we'd resolved the problem. It did not cause the engine to stop. It just caused it to run rough at high power, at the very highest power setting, and we resolved the problem. Ground checked, everything fine. Hopped in the plane, told Anchorage Tower I was going around Lake Hood. They said, yep, do it. And I went around. I came around once, and I was coming in to land. I was like, you know, I'm going to go around one more time, land, fill up with gas. And I was heading up to Fairbanks to see some people. Climbing out I just told the tower, hey, I'm going around. And they said, sure. And the next thing that happened 150 feet off the ground is that the engine went radio silent. Nothing mechanical. It just went, meow. It's like, oh. And I looked down and I saw the end of the runway. It's like, if I have every neuron of my piloting skill working, I'm going to be able to maybe get this thing stopped by the end of the runway. And I pointed the plane down there and it kept coming down. It's like, I told the tower, you know, I'm landing. And they said, clear to land. They knew the problem. And then I called the tower back. I said, I'm not going to get this thing stopped by the end of the runway. I don't recall that they said anything, but my wheels, I had a fairly big head of steam, you know, trying to get down. And I remember I did get the wheels to touch, and I just bounced right back up into the air. And the next thing, about 60 yards in the distance, is this great big chain metal fence. Ooh. And it was just like a bad special effect in a movie. It was rushing at me. And I was like, oh. Maybe I can get over that fence. I remember pulling back. Plane's not stalling. In fact, it climbed about 5 feet. Fence is about 7 feet. I hit the fence. Next thing, I'm about 20 feet on the other side of the fence. I sent you the photo. Boom! I was stopped on a dime. I slammed into the seat belts, flipped upside down, hanging upside down, listening to the sirens off in the distance calling my name.
Well, that's a very sad story. Obviously, the good news is that you're here to tell us about it.
Walked away.
But the other piece of good news is that it led to another development, didn't it? I mean, a new chipper.
Yes. We got to build a new... We proved the crashworthiness of the cabin. The cabin is just...
That's always
like
nice.
Like a tank. That sucker is just... Oh, my goodness. That honeycomb aluminum just... it did its stuff, and so did the seat belts. But, yeah, I've had a chance to build a new chipper. It's like, you know, we can build them better, we can build them faster, we can make them easier to build. So we've just been making little changes here and there to ease the process of building the plane. And we added slats to improve the stall characteristics, which you can see when you come by and see
because
the plane.
Because, of course, it used to stall at what speed?
Oh, 4, now we're getting it down to 2.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
39, and we're getting it down to 34, 35.
Speaking master of miniaturization, this is one of the most affordable kits out there, too.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is. It combines the very finest stall characteristics in a 2-seat side-by-side, along with affordability. The airframe kit's 12 and a half. So You need other stuff like landing gear, but you can jump in, and your cost of acquisition in the big picture and in the little picture, it'll be smaller at every step along the way.
So will you be assuming that people will be putting a 130-horse engine on it?
No, that's just fun and bragging rights. The 80-horsepower engine from Rotax continues to be extraordinary on this airplane. Unlike a lot of airplanes where they say, you can do that, and then they wink at you saying, you're really going to be disappointed. But I flew my 80-horsepower engine up to Angel Fire, and it performed in Mexico, 10,000-plus
feet.
Yeah,
I know that airport.
Yeah, and it did way fantastic on 80-horse. I've had it up to 13-something. I've had density altitudes over 14,000. So the 130 or the 100 is just for fun, you know? Let's make it outrageous. Let's make it safer. Let's make it get off the ground quicker.
This is such a great story. I mean, if people are still here on the grounds and they want to come out and see the new Chipper, is it called the Chipper 2?
Chipper 2 or Spirit of Wichita. We have a Wichita flag paint scheme off the charts. Looks amazing.
Where will they find the Chipper 2?
914 in the ultralight area, relatively close to the ultralight runway or the Red Barn, straight across the street from Just Aircraft.
And what about online?
BeLightAircraft.com, Chipper.Aero, A-E-R-O, either of them work.
Facebook and all those kinds of great
find
places.
Find us there, 45,000 fans.
James Wiebe, BeLight Enterprises, Radiant Technologies, thank you so much for coming by.